From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Give and Forgive, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled The Magnitude of Grace. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Our weakness should be prized as making room for divine strength. We might never have known the power of grace if we had not felt the weakness of nature. Blessed be the Lord for the thorn in the flesh and the messenger of Satan when they drive us to the strength of God. This is a precious word from our Lord's own lip. It has made the writer laugh for joy. God's grace enough for me. I should think it is. Is not the sky enough for the bird and the ocean enough for the fish? The all-sufficient is sufficient for my largest want. He who is sufficient for earth and heaven is certainly able to meet the case of one poor worm like me. Let us then fall back upon our God and His grace. If He does not remove our grief, He will enable us to bear it. His strength shall be poured into us till the worm shall thresh the mountains, and a nothing shall be victor over all the high and mighty ones. It is better for us to have God's strength than our own. For if we were 1,000 times as strong as we are, it would amount to nothing in the face of the enemy. And if we could be weaker than we are, which is scarcely possible, yet we could do all things through Christ.
Grace, oh Jesus, greater than all my
this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the request in the Lord's Prayer, Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As Dr. Cairns has pointed out, the little word and connects the two parts of the petition, indicating that there is a definite connection between forgiveness and having our prayers answered. In this message, Dr. Cairns is drawing four lessons that Christ would have us learn from this connection. In the first place, we learn that unforgiven sin hinders prayer. The Bible contains many examples of God's people who, because of sin in their lives, were unable to get through to God when they found themselves in desperate situations. In the second lesson, we'll see that by joining these two petitions, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes our unworthiness to receive the Lord's blessing and magnifies His great mercy in giving it. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called Give and Forgive.
Let me make it clear to you today. If you as an individual or we as a church speak against the mocking, mad attitude of the world towards sin, we will be censured. I want you to know this. If you were to appear on a television talk show or an interview in the news and you had a sodomite and a lesbian and an adulterer, and they were all saying, this is what we have done, but we have not sinned, and you were to get up and give them God's word, they would all, almost without exception, be eulogized, and you would be censured as bigoted, narrow-minded, harsh, and unloving. Doesn't matter that you love God. Doesn't matter that you love truth. Doesn't matter that you love the Bible. It doesn't matter that you love the souls of men. It doesn't matter that you have a loving interest in their eternal welfare. Those things the world mocks and casts aside as a filthy thing, and they embrace the filthy thing and call it good. The woe of Isaiah chapter 5 becomes very real, because God's curse is on those who call good evil and who call evil good. Of course, the real reason for this moral mess is that men have lost all conception of the holiness of God. That's the real thing. When you hear a man making light of sin, and I don't care if he's a preacher, a university theologian, I don't care if he's a politician or a philosopher or just a man in the street, if you hear anybody who has a small view of his own sin or sin in general, you have out of his own mouth the clear testimony that he has no conception at all of the holiness of God. Any man who has ever been caught into the presence of God as he has thought through the words hallowed, sanctified, declared holy, be thy name, that man will never take a light view of sin. Now, I must say this. It's not my subject this morning, but I must say this very clearly to you. That it doesn't matter what the prevailing opinion of 20th, nearly 21st century American society happens to be, God will judge this generation and every man and woman in it, not according to the situation ethics that are now accepted, not according to their own foolish, debased views, but according to his own eternal law and absolute standard. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:14, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Then that day, he tells me, he will open the books. Some of you have Bibles that you never open. But God never closes the Bible. As far as you're concerned, he's going to open every book. The book of the law and the book of the gospel. He'll open the books. God will judge according to his righteous standard. That's why the scripture says that it's only fools who make a mock of sin. The Lord Jesus, in this prayer, therefore, forces us to take the idea of sin seriously. Thankfully, he doesn't do it in order to condemn us, but to encourage us that there is an available pardon for sin. This is the whole message of Scripture. Psalm 130, the third and fourth verses tell us, if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, Who, O Lord, who would stand? Just think of that. We read this morning about a Pharisee who felt that he was such an upright, righteous, decent man and religious into the bargain. This man had no conception at all of his own wickedness. He went into the very presence of God. He lifted up his eyes as if he had the right to look into the very eyes of his Maker and said, Lord, I thank you. Oh, theoretically he was putting this down to God and to grace. Theoretically he was attributing his goodness to God. But in his heart he was attributing it to himself. He said, I thank you that I am not as other men. And thank God I'm not like this wretched sinner over the aisle. I fast. I tithe. I pray. But Jesus said he went down to his house unjustified, unpardoned, uncleansed, unsaved. If God were to be marking your iniquity, how would you stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. That's what the Savior is impressing on us in this petition in verse 12. And that's why we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Thomas Manton, the famous Puritan preacher, sometimes referred to as the preacher's Puritan. I think every preacher should be acquainted with Thomas Manton. Great man, great preacher. Simple, direct, but so, so profound. And when Manton came to this text, he pointed out a challenging peculiarity about this petition and what follows. Now, let's read the Lord's Prayer and see if you can pick out a very simple, very small, but my, such an important thing. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. It's the preamble, the introduction. Now, the petition start. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Watch it carefully. Here are the first four petitions. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Give us our daily bread. And notice it. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is inspired. And every word of God is profitable. This is the first of the petitions that starts with the conjunctive. It starts with and. The ones before it, don't they stand, as it were, alone? In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is deliberately linking this with what goes before. He says, give us and forgive us. Give us necessary food for our bodies. Give us the good things of life. Give us the bounties of God's provision. And forgive us our debts. Now, why does he link these things? I want us today, very simply, because as Mike said, I will be gone for a few Sundays, and I will, God willing, come back to the text more fully in itself. But I want us today to think of four simple reasons why Christ links these two petitions in this way. Why does he say, give us and forgive us, as if he were saying it all in one breath? I think the first reason is to remind us that unpardoned sin hinders prayer and robs us of the ability to get through to God on matters of great importance. When we pray, "Give us," we must at once add, "Forgive us," for the very simple reason that the Scripture says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." There is no greater or more immediate cause for unanswered prayer than unconfessed and unforgiven sin. Listen to what the Scripture says. Jeremiah 5, verse 25 is exceedingly blunt. "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." Is that clear? So much so that a little later in the book of Jeremiah, and you find the same thing in the book of Ezekiel, when the leaders of the Jews wanted prayer, God wouldn't have anything to do with them. He said to Jeremiah, "Don't even pray for these people, for I won't hear you." And when the leaders of the Jews came to Ezekiel the prophet with a great pretense of holiness, saying, "We want to have a prayer meeting," God spoke to the prophet and he told him, "I will not hear them." Why? Because the praying was all, "Give us, give us, give us." But while they were praying, "Give us," they had no heart to pray, "Forgive us." They loved their sin. And like so many people, they want their sin, but they want the fruit of righteousness. They want to serve flesh and Satan, but they want the blessing of God. They want to walk the way that leads to hell, but they want it to conduct them to heaven. And God says, this can't be. Unforgiven sin stands as a mighty barrier to stop any man or any woman getting through to God on the matters that are of great importance to them. So many people complain, "Well, God doesn't answer prayer for me. God doesn't answer prayer anymore. We're living in a day when God seems to have given up answering prayer." And you ought to remember what the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 59, in the opening two verses. He says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." The problem isn't with the hand or the ear of God, the ability of God to hear and answer prayer. Where is the problem? "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you." Do you see what he's saying? He will not hear you. Think of King Saul. I think that there's few more tragic characters in Scripture than the first king of Israel. Started off with such promise. He was such an imposing figure as a young man. As a young monarch, he appeared to have the world at his feet. Saul was like a lot of people. He was very religious when he was in trouble. But Saul failed to make his supplication to the Lord. And when the crunch time came, he was going almost mad with desperation. Why? Because he had not had sin dealt with. And he couldn't pray when he needed to pray. Is that where you are this morning? Give us and forgive us. because unless you have the forgiveness, your sin will hinder your praying.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.